Well, we're looking forward to our lesson this morning. And as you can see, it's all about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are the passages that we've now come to in Hebrews chapter number 12. So you can turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. As we're nearing the end of this wonderful book, this wonderful chapter, I should say, we come to verses 22 to 24 once again. This morning we're going to look more at the end of these verses, particularly verse 24, but let's begin in verse 22. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel." Now just a refresher, what did we talk about last week? We talked about the wonderful place and our eternal home called heaven. Amen? And that's what these verses describe in verse 22. The heavenly Jerusalem, the eternal city, the home that God has prepared for every believer. And we learnt how God is just like describing, as a real estate agent does, the wonderful blessings of this eternal home that we'll have. And we learnt that we'll have new neighbours, we'll have a new eternal life, a new eternal state, we'll have a new joy, and there in that wonderful heavenly city will be our dear Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come to the end of verse 24, the Lord specifically talks about the blood of sprinkling, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that phrase, the blood of sprinkling, is something that's taken from the Old Testament, isn't it? From the Old Testament. You remember that the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement would take the blood into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. And so God wants to get our attention this morning and to help us to open our eyes by faith to see the importance of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've been enjoying this theme this year, the just shall live by faith, I'm sure you would agree with me this morning that we all have victories in the Christian life, but also we all have times of failure, don't we? We all fail at times. We all falter and fall at times. And that's why it's so important for us to understand the significance of the blood of Christ. If we are going to be able to run well in the Christian race, and remember that's what chapter 12 is all about, running the race that is set before us, living the life of faith, growing in the school of faith, if we're going to be able to do that, we need to come back to the importance of the blood of Christ. If we forget about the significance of His blood, then we will fall and we will continue to be discouraged. Now, it's through the shedding of Christ's blood that we have the forgiveness of sins. Amen? It's through His holy, sinless blood that we can enjoy salvation, that we can inherit eternal life. But salvation is not the last time that we need the blood of Christ. Now, you were saved at a certain time, if you're a Christian here this morning, and you might know that date. For me, I was 26 when I became a Christian. It was on the 7th of May, 2005. And I have written it down so I don't forget. As we get older, our memory fades. But I was 26 when I was saved. And if I live, let's say, to the age of, what is it, 70? And the Lord tarries, and by God's grace, if I live to the age of 70, most of the sins of my life will have been committed after I became a Christian. So, you see, when I got saved, that's not the only time that I needed the blood of Christ. As a Christian, I need his blood and you need his blood daily to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't need to get saved again, but we need to come to him daily in order to stay close to the Lord. And what does 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 tell us? If we confess our sins, that's as a Christian. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, not for salvation, but for fellowship. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us as Christians from all sins. So what is the point this morning? We need the blood of Christ each day. We need to understand the importance of his blood to cleanse us from our daily sins. See, God doesn't want you to continue to fail and fall and live in a pit of guilt because of your sins as a Christian and not run the race that is set before you. You see, verse 24 tells us that the blood of Christ still speaks today. Would you agree? It speaks of better things than that of Abel's blood. And we're going to learn a little bit about that this morning. So let's compare the blood of Christ and the blood of Abel this morning. First of all, there in your notes, Roman numeral number 1, let's look at the better blood. The better blood. Your first blank is the word better. So the Bible tells us in verse 24, notice there with me, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Now, what does that mean? Well, in order to understand that, we need to go back to the book of Genesis and to think about Cain and Abel. Now, two brothers, Cain and Abel. Cain was older, Abel was younger. And remember, they both brought offerings before the Lord. Abel obeyed the Lord. Cain did what he wanted, brought the works of his own hands. Abel brought a lamb, a firstling of the flock, as a sacrifice. Abel brought a sacrifice, revealing his faith in the Lord. Cain revealed his unbelief in the Lord by bringing the works of his own hands. He thought he could please God by his own works, and Abel knew he couldn't please God. It took sacrifice, a sacrifice, in order to be right before the Lord. And we know that Cain, when he found out his offering was not accepted before God, how did he feel about it? What was his feeling about that? Did he repent and say, "Oh Lord, I'm wrong. I know I've done wrong"? How did he feel? He was, he knew he was wrong. He wouldn't repent. And God said, your sacrifice is not acceptable. And how did he feel towards Abel, teenagers? He was very angry. He was very angry. And he, in his wrath and in his anger, he killed his own brother. And he committed the first murder in the Bible. And you know, when Cain slew Abel, it's a possibility that he buried him, that he hid the body so his mum and dad wouldn't know what happened. We're not told that in the Bible, but it's a possibility. But when God came to Cain and confronted him, Cain did not get away with it. And this is what he says in the book of Genesis. This is what God said to Cain. Listen carefully. "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." God basically said this, church family, that I can hear the voice of Abel's righteous blood crying out. Jesus, in fact, talked about Abel's blood, Abel in Matthew chapter 23. He speaks of righteous Abel. Abel was a man who loved God, obviously. Abel was a man who served God. And when he was killed, his righteous blood cried out to God. Now, what did it cry out for? It cried out for justice. It cried out for vengeance. And based upon God's response to Cain in the book of Genesis, God said to Cain, "You have sinned, and because you have murdered your brother, I'm going to punish you with a curse." And Cain said to God, what did he say? He says, "This judgment is too much. It's too much for me to bear." But Abel's blood cried out. cried out for judgment. Now, as we think about Cain's sin, we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the reality is that all of us here this morning are responsible for the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are responsible for the fact that the Son of God was nailed to the cross. We are all sinners. It is our sin, it is my sin. It is your sin that nailed the Son of God to the cross. It is our sin that caused Him to die. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ's blood has every right to cry out to God for vengeance, for justice. But why does Christ's blood speak of better things than that of Abel's? Well, Abel's blood cried out for justice and vengeance, didn't it? But Christ's blood cries out for what? For mercy. Excellent. For forgiveness. That's why His blood speaks of much better things than the blood of Abel. Because Abel's blood cried out for judgment, but thank God the blood of Christ cries out for mercy upon you and I. Forgiveness upon you and I. Justice has been paid by Christ so we can experience the mercies of God. The innocent one was judged for our sins. So you and I as guilty sinners can be justified, forgiven, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Christ's blood is better. That's why His blood speaks of better things than that of Abel. And without the sprinkling of the blood of Christ, we would still be condemned to judgment. We deserve God's wrath, but the blood of Christ speaks for our pardons. Notice Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. There in your Bibles, if you have open to chapter 12. Notice chapter 8 for a moment and verse 12. Let's read verse 12 together, shall we? Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, on to 1, 2. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and to their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And friends, it's so important for us as Christians to remember the blood of Jesus Christ. Friends, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. Because of His precious blood, once we receive Christ as Savior, because of His precious blood, the sins and our iniquities of our lives, God remembers no more. He chooses because of Christ to no longer hold your sins and my sins against us. He can never forget, but He chooses to remember them no more. Amen. He chooses them to hold us against us no more. And you see, in order for you and I to run the Christian race, we need to remember that. Why? Because so often we fail. And when we fail, how do you feel? I know how I feel. I feel guilty. I feel ashamed. I feel like at times that I can't get back up. Have you ever felt that way before? And that it may be even easier to quit than to get back up and potentially fail again. Now, that's what you and I would be tempted to do if we forget about the blood of Christ. Because His blood doesn't cry out for vengeance when we fail. His blood cries out for forgiveness. His blood cries out for mercy. His blood cries out in love for us to come back to God. We can never lose our salvation. But His blood encourages us to get back up, doesn't it? To keep pressing on in the Christian life. To not forget that Christ loved us, He died for us, and He loves us still, and His blood still speaks to us today. His blood still speaks to us today. Notice there in your notes, Roman numeral number 2, the sprinkling of blood. That's what verse 25 tells us about. Not only is it better than Abel's, but it has been sprinkled. The sprinkling of blood. It's a wonderful truth in the Bible. There in your notes, chapter 12, verse 24, once again, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. So the blood of sprinkling, as I've already mentioned, is an Old Testament is a picture of what happened in the Old Testament. That the high priest, in order to atone for the sins of the nation, once a year on the Day of Atonement, would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice upon the mercy seat. And that blood will atone for the sins of the people. And it was a picture of the sacrifice of Christ to come. You see, the steps that the high priest took were followed by our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't miss it. The blood of the sprinkling is a wonderful statement that we ought to rejoice in. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. And as our high priest who shed his holy, sinless and pure blood, he then took his blood and sprinkled his blood, the blood of the new covenant, upon the mercy seat in the tabernacle of heaven. He sprinkled his holy blood upon the mercy seat. You see, the blood in the Old Testament couldn't achieve the forgiveness of sins. But you see, the new covenant, the sprinkling of the blood of Christ, achieved the complete pardon for all mankind. The sprinkling of the blood of Christ. And that is the blood that speaks of better things today. Christ's blood doesn't cry out for judgment. Christ's blood cries out for mercy. And as Christians, we will all fail in the school of faith. And we will continue to fail unless we make it a practice, as the book of Hebrews tells us, to come boldly before the throne, the place where the blood was sprinkled, come boldly before the throne of God, where we might obtain mercy and grace to help in a time of need. Friends, as Christians, we can enjoy the mercies of God. God doesn't want us to live in a pit of guilt and in a pit of shame. Yes, sin brings guilt, but the blood still speaks today. And it speaks for your forgiveness. It speaks for my forgiveness. It speaks for God's mercy upon our lives. And we need to go frequently to the throne room of God and fall down before the mercy seat and cry out for God's forgiveness. Now, we don't need to be saved again. Salvation is once in your life. If you continue to ask the Lord to save you and take you to heaven when you die, then you've never trusted Him for His forgiveness once and for all. But if you have, you don't need to get saved again. But as Christians, we need His ongoing mercy and forgiveness. And we can experience His daily cleansing. Why? Because of the blood. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of His precious blood. Christian, what do you do when you fail the faith tests of life? God is at work in our lives to stretch us. And sometimes we don't respond the right way. He stretches us. We feel like breaking. Sometimes we quit. We give up. What do you do when you fail? Where do you turn to? Do you throw up your hands in the air and say, look, I give up. This is too much. I want to quit. There's no hope for me. I've blown it. What does God want us to do? What does He invite us to do? He says, let us, therefore, come boldly. What a contradiction. When I am feeling so messed up and broken and guilty and ashamed, God says, you are invited. In fact, I want you to come boldly. Boldly. Not sheepishly crawling in through the back door and taking a peek and wondering if God will allow me to come to Him. Or will I have to do works of penance and pray 10 Hail Marys and crawl up some temple on my knees up the stairs to get to the top, you know, and is that what God requires of us? No. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we can come boldly through Christ. Because of Christ, we can come boldly because of the sprinkling of blood before the throne. And we can experience His mercy and forgiveness. We can experience also His grace to help us to get back up, because a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. If you've fallen, if you've failed, well, the blood of Christ speaks to you this morning. and says, get back up. Why? Because of his love. Because of his invitation to come back to him. Because of his willingness to forgive and cleanse each day from all unrighteousness. Have a look at Hebrews chapter 4. We've been talking about these verses. We better look at them together. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at verses 14 to 16. Now, have I got the right verses? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Notice there, the Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Now, Christian, look up here this morning. When you fail, you need to remember the blood. Why? Because God does not give up on you. Amen? God does not give up on me when I fail. God does not give up on any of us. He says, because of the blood that still speaks today, the blood of Jesus Christ, what does God say when you fail? That you are His and He is yours. Not because of something you have done, but because He has saved you. And He will keep you the same way you got saved. You don't lose your salvation. And God didn't save you because of your good works. He saved you because He saw Christ's blood. Friends, His blood still speaks today. Speaks for your salvation if you're saved. Speaks for your forgiveness. Speaks for your justification. Can you see how foolish it is when you and I live in shame and guilt? And we don't come back to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. Help me to get back up. Help me not to stay in this pit of discouragement. Well, if we forget about the blood of Christ, then we will be discouraged. We will stay discouraged because there will be nothing to encourage us. What can encourage us more than the blood that still speaks? Amen? Than the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of sprinkling upon the mercy seat. That if you're a Christian, has already been taken place in your life. The blood of Christ upon your soul. What are we to complain about if we have experienced the mercy of God? And the Christian that runs the life of faith well, that runs well, the Christian that will obtain a good report, listen carefully, is not the Christian that is perfect. Can I say that? Yep. The Christian that runs the life, the Christian life well, as you've seen this year, is not the believer that's perfect. Far from it. But it's the believer who comes often to the mercy seat. Amen? It's the believer who has a well trodden path of boldness, coming before the mercy seat, coming before the throne of God, experiencing God's forgiveness and grace. Don't forget that. Not only mercy, but grace, the strength to help to overcome those sins, to experience greater victories in different areas of our lives, the grace to help in a time of need. And once the Lord cleanses us from all unrighteousness, guess what? That sin that you've been living in guilt over is cleansed. It's cleansed. That guilt is gone. We can now get up. The load is lifted. We can press on. We can run the Christian life by faith. We can live with a clean conscience. Many Christians are weighed down because they live in guilt for what they have done or failed to do, and that is not the Christian life that God has planned for us. Amen? Because the blood still speaks. The blood still speaks. Now, the devil likes to bring back to mind those sins that you've committed, doesn't he? I know he does to in my life. But the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that the blood of Christ has destroyed the works of the devil. Destroyed them. So that lying deceiver is trying to trick you. He's lying to you. He's the father of all lies. He's trying to caused you to feel guilty over sins that have already been forgiven. Amen? So what do we tell the devil when thoughts of guilt enter into our mind over sins we've already confessed? What do we say to the devil? Well, we basically thank God that He's forgiven us. We don't need to confess those sins that we've confessed already. We thank God for His forgiveness. We thank God that He's cleansed us. We claim the blood of Christ, the blood that still speaks today. You know, all of our lives are filled with things that we're ashamed of. But the blood of Christ cleanses us from the guilt and the shame. We can have boldness to enter into the throne, even when we have sinned. Even when we have sinned as Christians, we can have boldness. That's written to Christians, not to those who need to get saved. It's written to you and I. But we can have boldness. Lastly, there in your notes, the blood upon the mercy seat. And that's what we've come to at the end of these verses, the sprinkling of the blood upon the mercy seat. What a wonderful picture of God's salvation. That we are in Christ. We are His beloved. We are heirs with the Son of God because of His blood, because of the sprinkling of blood. Let me ask you this morning, as you've written that blank in your notes, the mercy seat. The blank is the word mercy, I believe. When was the last time you went before the throne and asked the Lord for mercy, for forgiveness? When was the last time you claimed the sprinkling of the blood of Christ to cleanse you from daily sins? Now, you see, the problem is, why don't you and I so often run well? Because we're stuck. We are weighed down by the weights, Hebrews chapter 12, 1 and 2, the weights and the sins which doth so easily beset us, weigh us down. Why are they weighing us down? Because we haven't come to the mercy seat. We haven't confessed them. We haven't asked the Lord to forgive us. We're hanging on to them, and they're hanging on to us, and they're weighing us down, and we're living in guilt. We're living in shame instead of enjoying the freedom that the blood of sprinkling has purchased for you and I. Christian, don't live in shame anymore. Don't live in guilt. Sin causes us to be guilty, but the blood of sprinkling cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We need to be not denying sin in our life and making excuses. We need to be running to the mercy seat. Amen? Yep. Would you agree? We need to be running boldly. That means if you and I are going to run well, run the life of faith well, part of that is running to the mercy seat. That's a part of your race. The mercy seat. Coming to God each day to be cleansed. The Bible promises. God promises. Can you see that in the Word this morning? Let us therefore come boldly, if we do, that we may obtain mercy and find grace. That's a promise. A promise of God. Promise of God. Friends, apart from that path, we miss out on God's mercies. We don't lose our salvation. But if we don't come for daily cleansing before the throne of God each day, if we don't come before His throne, we miss out on enjoying His mercies practically, enjoying His grace in our life. And the only way to get back to a close relationship with the Lord is to get back on that path, the blood of sprinkling. Amen? That's the only way to get back to a close relationship with the Lord. You might be here this morning, you might say, Pastor, look, I'm pretty distant from the Lord right now. You know, there are some sins in my life I'm struggling with, and I feel guilty, I feel ashamed, and that's why I'm not running well. Well, I hope this morning's lesson has enlightened your mind. Amen? That's what the Word of God does. It's a light that shines in a dark place. You're living in darkness right now. I hope the light has turned on. Amen? I hope the brightness of the throne of God has shined in your heart. And the blood that's already been sprinkled, you don't need to ask for it to be sprinkled. It's already done. And God says, welcome. Come. I want you to come boldly. Run to me so that I can cleanse you. I can bring you victory. You can run well, Christian. You can run. The blood of Christ speaks much better things than the blood of Abel. Abel's blood cried out for judgment, vengeance. But Christ's blood cries out today for your forgiveness, for your revival. The blood of Christ. How essential His blood is to our lives. You don't hear many people talking about the blood these days. In fact, some so-called Christians say that that's too offensive. That's too violent to talk to our children about. You know, leave off the blood, talk about the love. But friends, without the blood, you can't understand the love. Without the blood of Christ, you and I won't run before the throne of grace as Christians. Thank God for His precious blood. His precious blood. That's His love. And thank God we can find it at the throne of grace.